This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
Welcome to Alive with Bhavna, and as usual, we have Nat with us today. Hello, Nat.
Hi, Bhavna. It's nice to be back after my little trip away.
How was your little trip away?
Very, very relaxing. And first time ever that I've taken a trip just for the sake of taking a relaxing trip with my best friend. And we did lots of shopping and eating and more shopping at the Greytown Winter Festival, which was delightful. And it was a lot of fun. But now I had to come back to work to earn more money so I can have fun again.
More fun later.
Yes.
And how are you doing with the mindfulness? What are you noticing?
Well, I probably wouldn't have allowed myself a break like that before, which sounds absolutely ridiculous when you say that. But it would have felt too indulgent, too selfish. No, it was just lovely, and I met some very interesting people, and I felt very calm, and I looked at some beautiful gardens, and it was fantastic. So it's something I'm going to book in maybe every 6 months, do a little trip.
Nice. And you said previously you wouldn't have, so you'd use that money on something sensible like the house or...
No, because I don't own my own house.
Yeah.
So it would just get frittered away or frittered away. But I wouldn't think to spend money normally on a hotel and things. Not unless it was a work trip.
Yeah.
Not just like a holiday. No. And it was very good for me and very good for my best mate that came with me. And we have to do lots of work now because we did lots of shopping, which is my favorite thing.
Okay, so shopping's been previously, also shopping was easy for you. Or...
Okay, confessions of a shopaholic, I think. No, I just really enjoy it. And there's a particular fabric shop in Greytown called Miss Maud's that I'd been ordering patterns and things from online. So it was really nice to go down and see the ladies and meet them in person.
Lovely.
So I'm back sewing again.
Nice. Sewing is a lovely mindfulness exercise.
It is when you're not doing it commercially as your job. I can tell you that bit. But I'm now doing it just for me. Mm. I'm learning all these things. It's okay just to do things for me.
Wow.
Bhavna, what have you done to me?
I've created a monster.
A blue fluffy one.
Cuddly one.
Yeah.
So since we've been doing mindfulness, you're feeling more balanced and falling less and you're doing more things for you.
Yes. Yep.
Okay, so that's only in the pre-mindfulness. We haven't really done mindfulness.
Oh, goodness. we'll keep going.
We'll keep going. So this is, yes, it is mindfulness what we've done. But the purists would say that's not mindfulness because it falls under what in the tradition they call the informal practice of mindfulness. It's just the little moments of bringing your attention back to you, noticing during the day. It isn't actually doing a practice, a dedicated practice. It's about coming back into your body, which is the first step. As we spoke in our first session together, it's the first thing we need to do before we can even start doing anything.
This sounds like it's about to get tricky.
I don't a cup. And, yep, it's not tricky. It's just doing more of it or doing a more serious practice. So really, like you did on the holiday, where you gifted yourself time, it's gifting yourself time in the day.
Every day?
most days.
Shall I diarize it?
You can diarize it. You can put it part of your timetable, your morning routine, your afternoon routine, whatever works for you. And this is the part that people, especially women, and I'm generalizing, find the hardest to do, is give yourself time. Because like you spoke about the trip, that's an indulgence for me to sit and do nothing for 10 minutes a day. That's selfish. That's waste of time.
We're pre-programmed, I think, from a very young age to always be doing and doing things for others. Well, I know I am.
Yeah. And if you're doing nothing, you still have to be doing something like watching TV or reading or sewing. Something
cooking.
Productive comes out of your nothingness.
Yes.
Rather than nothing. Not that TV is productive, but it's still doing something.
Not just sitting.
Yeah.
Okay. So my audiobooks don't count either.
No.
Nice try, Nat.
And this is, like I say, when I work with clients, the actual practice of mindfulness is the easier part. What they come against themselves is this, of, I have to give myself permission to do nothing for 10 minutes a day.
I suppose I should be careful not to do it when I'm likely to fall asleep, because it could end up longer than 10 minutes.
That's why it's a sitting practice.
Ah.
So that when you fall, you jerk yourself back awake and go, oh, sorry, and then you try again, and then you jerk, and then you wake up.
Right.
I've never seen anyone bang their head on the floor, even in a meditation hall, so you will jerk awake.
I think that's probably a good idea to do it sitting in the chair, but if I'm lying on the bed, I probably would.
Yes.
Nod off.
And that's a reason, again, traditionally they always say you don't do a meditation practice or mindfulness practice lying down, because it induces relaxation, and relaxation is what's needed to fall asleep.
Right. So I'll be sitting in a chair.
Yes.
I don't have to be cross-legged on the floor.
Nope.
That's sort of a good thing at the moment as well.
There's no body position that's better or worse. The idea is you want to sit as upright as possible, and that's just healthy posture so that your back is straight enough and you're not slumped over and closing your heart, closing your body parts. So
right.
It's open-chested.
So breathing from the diaphragm and things. So keep it...
Well, it's not a breathing practice. It's not a breathing exercise, but you want to keep your body, again, in the tradition, they say strong back, soft front. So you're not tensing your body. You're not, the back is strong to kind of keep you upright, but it's soft. It's gentle. It's not, you're not in the army where you're trying to hold your posture straight and perfect and whatever. It's soft front. You're soft, you're gentle, you're kind.
Right. Got it.
Got it. So that's all the preliminary as well. So the idea is committing to a 10-minute practice most days. And I say most days because, again, the purists would say you have to do this every day. And I can't advocate something that I don't do. So I don't do it every day. So I can't tell you to do it every day.
Is that a confession, Barbara?
That's a massive confession. For me, I do it. I do my mindfulness practice in the mornings. During the week when I have a routine. On the weekends, because I don't have a routine, it's harder to fit it into a slot. So I've just given up the idea of trying to make a space for it. Whereas during the week, and this is partly because we're creatures of habit. You don't think about when to brush your teeth or when you're doing your morning routine. It just happens next as you go through your morning routine.
It does. You're right. I've just changed my morning routine, though.
Hence the quizzical look when I said that.
And the reason is because it's cold.
Yeah. So for me, as long as it's part of a routine, I know when it slots into my day rather than I need to now find time to make it. And that's the other part of committing to a practice. It's incorporating it into your routine. Whether it's your morning routine, your afternoon routine, your evening routine, really doesn't matter. You know, for some people, they'll do it in their lunchtime. Get in the car, if you're living in Napier or something, go to the beach and just sit there in their car. It's not the what you do or how you do it. It's the how you do it that matters, not the what you do.
Mm. I think for me, I'm going to have to fit it into my morning because everything else just gets a bit too hectic, which I shouldn't say that now I'm doing mindfulness, but it's just the easiest time for me to be able to do it and possibly the quietest time around my house as well. So
yeah, and for some people find it in the evening just before going to bed a good time, but depending on how tired you are, that might not be a good time.
I'll be asleep.
So it's not about finding the right time as in what's the best time to do it in the world. It's the what's the best time to do it for me in my routine, in my life. And whatever time of the day it is right for me, that's the right time. So my policy is people will go, oh, no, is there a right time to do it? I'm like, yep, when you're breathing. So anytime you're breathing is a good time to do mindfulness.
That sounds very positive to be breathing.
It's extremely positive. All right, so we're going to do a formal breath practice today. And just a short practice and then see how that goes.
Okay.
Okay. So, again, if you're listening and if you're doing something, don't do this in the car or while doing anything else, operating heavy machinery. Listen to this later. Just this part. Okay, you ready, Nat?
Ready.
Okay, so it's getting your body in a comfortable position. Eyes open or closed makes no difference. And just start by, again, just feeling your body. Noticing where you are, noticing how you're sitting in the chair. And just giving your body permission to relax and let go. There's nowhere you need to be. There's nothing you need to be doing. And giving that same permission to your mind. Giving your mind permission to relax and let go. There's nothing for your mind to do. Doesn't have to think about anything, solve anything, remember anything. It's just nothing for your mind to do. You're just noticing how your body feels in this moment. And then if you want, taking attention to your breathing. And just noticing how your body's breathing you. This is not a breathing exercise. Don't try to do anything with the breath. Just trusting that your body knows how to breathe you. It's been breathing you since your birth. And just get curious about this one breath. How deep is it? How shallow is it? And then get curious with the next breath. You're just watching the breath. You're not doing anything with it. And notice when your mind wanders away, lovingly, gently, just bring it back to the breath. Just this one breath. Just keep reminding yourself there's nothing to do, nothing to accomplish, nothing to get right. All you're doing is watching how your body's breathing you in this moment. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes. Welcome back.
Thank you. I had a little floaty moment. That was lovely.
What did you notice?
How easy it is for my brain to suddenly go, flit, think about that. Oh, what about that? And I was like, nope, come back, monkey mind.
And hope you said it more gentlier than that.
Well, I actually said monkey mind in my head.
We can call it monkey mind, but lovingly gently.
Anyway, it was quite interesting doing the whole just breathing, just being conscious of breathing in and out. Yeah. Because I worked out, because I had my eyes shut, there was like a colour change when I breathed in and out. From what it was going from orange to green. Now that could just be being because of the strip lighting in here or something, but it was really just sort of very calming for me. So That was nice. But I've got to say, because we do this live, well, live-ish on radio in my workplace, it's still very odd.
Yes.
Because I've become very aware that I'm at work and I have to try and turn that bit of my mind off too. So, but I was starting to really, I can feel I'm much more relaxed now than I was 5-10 minutes ago, even though I didn't know that I was tense.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah. So it's committing to doing this practice, just a breath practice, for 10 minutes most days, seeing where it fits into your day, choosing a spot, because again, we're creatures of habit. My body knows when I sit on this chair, this is what I do, or when I sit in this spot, this is what I do. So if you can have a spot in your house where you do this, it's not exclusively used for this. It's not like, oh, we can't go into that seat. That's a naughty chair. We're not going near that. But just that idea of a space where your body knows, when I sit there in the morning, that's what happens.
Okay.
And that's purely because we're trainable. You know, we're so trainable as humans. Time and space and all that is easier to program the body to get into doing something than do it wherever, whenever.
I can understand that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So it's playing with that idea. If it means listening to this maybe one more time, it's doing that. But like we did with the first time we did this, it's not relying on me or doing a guided practice. I don't want to be the voice in your head. I'd rather you be the voice in your head.
Okay, I understand that.
Yeah.
And be kind to myself if my mind starts wandering.
Your mind will wander, okay? The success rate you're looking for in a 10-minute sit is having 1 minute of mindfulness.
Wow.
And I don't mean 1 minute. I mean 60 tiny little seconds. Because you're going to bring your attention back, and it's going to be there for 1 second or maybe a millisecond before it goes away.
Wow.
Then you're going to catch it and go, hey, come back, see what I got, see what's happening here. And we'll come here for 1 second and we'll go away. The difference between you and me doing the practice is I might get 3 minutes, 5 minutes maybe in a 10-minute sit. You get 1 minute.
Because you've been doing this a long time?
A lot longer, but I still don't get 10 minutes in a 10-minute sit. My mind still wanders.
Would anybody?
Probably the Dalai Lama, but I'm guessing.
Well,
considering how long he's been practicing.
Do you think we should invite him on your show?
Why not? He can read the practice. But it's their idea. People think you have to stay present. It would be lovely. But the nature of the mind is to wander. Again, the difference between you and me is I will notice that I've gone away from the breath a lot quicker than you would. You'd catch it a few seconds later or many seconds later and go, oh, God, I'm thinking, okay, come back here. Whereas I would catch it a bit quicker. That's the difference between experience and novice. It's we still only have moments of mindfulness. And I might stay more present for a full second, whereas you'll stay present for microseconds. So it's not about staying present. The practice is catching your mind and bringing it back.
Right. Okay. That sounds great. So I can already work out what my homework is going to be for the next month. And I know you will check up on me too.
I will check up with you, and as will the listeners go, did you do her homework this time?
I will do my homework because I do know it is making a difference to how I even plan things. This morning, before I came to work, I was thinking, gosh, I've got such a lot to do this week, because after a trip away and then also a short week with the holiday and everything, you seem to have 10 million more things to fit in. And I said to myself, no, you only can do what you can do, and nobody's going to die if you don't do it all today. And that's quite new thinking for me.
Massive. Wow.
And I thought, Bhavna's going to be very pleased with me. But best of all, I was pleased with me.
Yeah.
And some people might say it's because I'm getting older. I don't think so. I think it's Bhavna. I think you're helping me so much unravel some of this pre-programming that I've had for so long.
Yeah.
So if you're out there listening to this, and I hope you are, give it a go. And you can't be wrong or right, which is what's fun about it. Just give it a go.
And on those wise words for Nat, thank you. Give it a go. Try it out. You can't get it wrong. So love that. Yeah, thank you.
See, I am listening.
You're listening, you're doing, and it's working. Because it is really as simple as that and as difficult as that. It's as difficult or as easy as we think it is.
It's fantastic. It really is. And I'm really glad they're teaching it to children in schools now. I think my generation would be less angsty and work-driven if we'd had something like that. But we shall see.
We shall see. And thank you very much for listening. And we hope that you practice and let us know how your practice is going. And thank you for listening to us today. If you want to contact me, my details are all on the website, which is alivepsych.co.nz. Thank you very much. Bye from me.
And bye from me.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.